A couple months ago, I had shared with you something about what was identified as the new tech religion. And I want to revisit the new tech lifeless religion today. So I'd shared with you, and this is a quote from a previous sermon, what seemed implausible at the time has become a reality and thus part of our everyday life. We did not have to go hundreds of years into the future, but merely a generation or two. The development of artificial intelligence, a wide-ranging branch of computer science concerned with building smart machines capable of performing tasks that typically require human intelligence, is the pursuit of nations with the intent of gaining control of people. Yet the romanticized aspect of transhumanism is extending one's life. So I shared this with you a couple months ago, and this idea, this notion of artificial intelligence. You've heard that there are oxymorons such as military intelligence. Artificial intelligence, I see as being another oxymoron, that which contradicts itself to the point that which God has created and that which the source of God is, which is intelligence and wisdom, cannot be artificially created. Artificial intelligence cannot feel. Artificial intelligence cannot reason. Yet what artificial intelligence does, it basically is like a database that takes a bunch of experiences and tries to figure out, based on what is learned, quotation marks, to come to a conclusion. Yet this pursuit of extending life truly life-affirming, is it life-affirming? Does it acknowledge or affirm the giver of life? Last Shabbat, we proclaimed in this congregation, Chaim HaKayitz, the summer of life. Summer's starting early, although it doesn't seem like it. But I believe over the next several weeks, what they're going to look like, I'm not sure. But we're going to be looking at life. Yet the powers that be, government, the media, big tech, and various corporations are not intending to promote life, but rather control one's life. It is not the tool that is evil, but the means by which the tool is used that determines whether it is good or evil. I'm going to give you a word. Tyranny. What is tyranny but cruel, unreasonable, or arbitrary use of power or control? Typical tyranny is associated with government. The founding of this country was propagated by the tyranny of the British Empire, their unreasonable and at times cruel treatment of the colonies led to a revolt that would eventually result in a declaration of independence that spurred a war for independence. The challenge that laid ahead was forming a government that would be of the people, for the people, and done by the people, a republic. That is a representational form of government rather than a true democracy would propel a fledgling nation into a world power. Yet such action is not exclusive to government. What is happening today has occurred previously. For those of you who may not remember your American history, at the turn of the 19th century, going from the 1800s into the 1900s, we as a nation were confronted with who would be known as the robber barons and the trust-busting Theodore Roosevelt. Names such as John D. Rockefeller, whose Standard Oil Company controlled 90% of the U.S. oil refining business. Google controls 90% of search results. You have Andrew Carnegie, who built an enormous empire through steel. And by 1889, the U.S. output of steel exceeded that of the United Kingdom. And Carnegie owned a large part of it. And you had J.P. Morgan, who spearheaded the formation of several prominent multinational corporations, including U.S. Steel, International Harvester, and General Electric, which subsequently fell under his supervision. He and his partners also held controlling interests in numerous other American businesses, Western Union, for those of you, I'm dating myself here, Pullman Car Company, and 21 Railroads. Due to the extent of his dominance over U.S. finance, Morgan exercised enormous influence over the nation's policies and the market forces underlying its economy. In other words, he could call up any senator or congressman, they would take his call, and he would be able to influence them. These were the big three, and they controlled oil, steel, and finance. These were the industries that transformed this nation. All would fuel the development of the rail industry that would ultimately connect this nation from sea to shining sea. FYI, after their monopolies, and just to give you an idea of swinging it too far in one direction, they swung the other way. Once their monopolies were broken up, they were still enormously wealthy. And in their latter years, both Rockefeller and Carnegie became philanthropists in giving away much of their fortune. The libraries of today were a result of Andrew Carnegie. And the Rockefeller Foundation still exists to this day and is still instrumental. Thus, the nation experienced enormous benefit, yet the clouds approaching on the horizon were a threat to the republic. When a few individuals could wield enormous power and influence towards the people that represented their constituency, what is the goal of a republic? The goal is to protect the ability of the working class, that is the citizenry, that is the majority, not in power to speak their minds and govern themselves. At this time, the media, comprising newspapers as the primary source of reporting, offered their own biased take of events of the day. This was known as yellow journalism. Yellow journalism and yellow press are American terms for journalism and associated newspapers that present little or no legitimate, well-researched news while instead using eye-catching headlines for increased sales. Techniques may include exaggeration of news events, scandal-mongering, and sensationalism. Consider the Spanish-American War, where yellow journalism helped to push Spain and the United States into war in 1898. The Maine, a U.S. battleship, sank from an explosion. Joseph Pulitzer and William Randolph Hearst published false articles about a plot to sink the ship, thereby increasing tensions. Thus, what we are seeing today is no different than the Industrial Revolution of the 1800s. Yesteryear's Industrial Revolution is today's technology revolution. Yesteryear's yellow journalism is today's fake news. The threat to this republic and the people it comprises is just as dangerous. You have even seen it take form in many ways. This past year, you saw a billionaire deploy over $300 million to help influence elections at the state and local level. You have seen story suppression by the media and false reporting of facts. Unlike the robber barons of the past, where the technology didn't exist, today's robber barons control the people of this republic through your information. There is no cost to be on Facebook, but there is a cost you are paying. The cost is your information and Facebook's ability to monetize it. Under their terms of use, you have agreed that in using their service at no financial cost to you, in exchange, whatever information you use on their platform, they can monetize. Whether that is in the form of curating ads or actually selling information to interested organizations, there is a cost. I'm not going to go into the details, but I provided a link because there is an interesting story in the New York Post about Facebook's vaccine hesitancy algorithm. And it was revealed by two Facebook employees and the company's intention. Something no one knew was happening, yet had the potential to impact your decisions had it been rolled out through the entire platform. As a result, an enormous amount of power is concentrated in just a few corporations, thus posing a threat to the very rights endowed upon each of you by our Creator. The very notion of this republic and the inalienable rights as conveyed by the fathers were not determined by man, but were instilled into us by our Creator. I want to share this with you. Through the miracle of digital technology, we have become app-dependent, easily manipulated, atomized, ATOM. In other words, we've been boiled down to a single atom, and mutually hostile. Our personal data is mined, and our souls sold back to us in digital form. As usual, our elected leaders have been too busy counting their campaign contributions to do much about it. Without any meaningful consent, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Twitter provide the inner lives of every person within reach, then sell that data to the highest bidder. You could argue that anyone who leaves his door unlocked deserves to get robbed, but only a shill would say the thieves should go unpunished. This is an observation from a gentleman by the name of Joe Allen pertaining to a recently published book by Senator Josh Hawley. It's called The Tyranny of Big Tech, for which the author conveys the goal of today's robber barons. The 21st century corporate elite hail global integration, social, political, and economic, as the great engine of progress. They prize transnational ties over any distinctly American identity. Far from empowering ordinary people, big tech assaulted their agency and undermined their independence by design. I share all this with you today in order to remind you of what has been endowed upon us and what is happening to this endowment. Unbeknownst to many, these endowments are being given away, not taken. This is a famous quote. I will reveal who said it in a moment. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserves neither liberty nor safety. Benjamin Franklin. Over the past year, we have seen the powerful gain even more power, while the population's voice became smaller. Yet our endowment has not changed. Consider what Shaul has written to Galatian believers. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. What the Messiah has freed us for is freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't let yourselves be tied up again to a yoke of slavery. Whether the yoke of slavery is legalism or a government dictatorship, where legislation took a back seat to executive orders, does not change or take away our endowments. In Galatia, we see a situation occurring whereby Shaul is impelled to address. He writes, I am astounded that you are so quick to remove yourselves from me, the one who called you by the Messiah's grace and turn to some other supposedly good news, which is not good news at all. What is really happening is that certain people are pestering you and trying to pervert the genuine good news of Messiah. Are your endowments under attack? Your God-given right to life, your God-given right to liberty, are they under attack? Yes, they are. The question is, are you giving them or are they being taken from you? The desire of the elite, the powerful, is control. Yet a republic is to be a representation of the people, intended for the people and done by the people. For Shaul continues in Galatians 5, starting in verse 7. You were running the race well, he says. Who has stopped you from following the truth? Whatever means of persuasion he used was not from the one who calls you. It takes only a little chametz to leaven the whole batch of dough. I am confident that since you are united with the Lord, you will take no other view. And I am confident that the one who has been disturbing you, whoever he may be, will have to bear his punishment. Is what Shaul saying to the Galatians and their situation really any different than our circumstances of today? For Shaul continues in verse 11. And as for me, brothers, if I am still preaching that circumcision is necessary, why am I still being persecuted? Change circumcision to something else. Are we still being persecuted as believers? I believe it's only going to get worse. I wish the people who are bothering you would go the whole way and castrate themselves. His words, not mine. For brothers, you were called to be free. Only do not let that freedom become an excuse for allowing your old nature to have its way. Instead, serve one another in love. For the whole of Torah is summed up in one sentence: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on snapping at each other and tearing each other to pieces, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Is that not occurring here in this nation now? The potential is great for that if it continues. The threat to this nation is not an external adversary, but an internal cancer that will metastasize, that is spread and will consume, that is take control of all the healthy cells. Yet the freedom we have in and through Yeshua, regardless, transcends any oppressive government or elite class. We should be reminded that the body of Messiah grew out of the tyranny of the Roman Empire. Consider Shaul's words to the Colossians in chapter 3 of his second letter. What is more, their minds were made stone-like. For to this day, the same veil remains over them. When they read the old covenant, it has not been unveiled, because only the Messiah is the veil taken away. Yes, till today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away. Now, Adonai in this text means the Spirit. Where the Spirit of Adonai is, there is freedom. So all of us with faces unveiled see, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into his very image from one degree of glory to the next by Adonai the Spirit. Shaul continues in establishing further context to the people of Corinth. So if indeed our good news is veiled, it is veiled only to those in the process of being lost. They do not come to trust because the god of this world has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing the light shining from the good news and the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God. For what we are proclaiming is not ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua as Lord, with ourselves as slaves for you because of Yeshua. For it is God who once said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has made his light shine in our hearts, the light of the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Messiah. For the god of this world is the one who desires control over the people and is doing so through the world system with the goal of controlling people, not empowering them, whereby everything is contrary to the one who has endowed us with liberty. For Caiaphas shares this sobering message with the body of Messiah that is directed towards those inside the body, corrupt leaders with the sole intention of dividing the body of Messiah. The precepts of this message can be also used as a warning about the enemy outside the body. So take heed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he conveys, "But among the people there are those that are false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them, the true way will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their punishment decreed long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. For God did not spare the angels who sinned. On the contrary, he put them in gloomy dungeons lower than Sheol to be held for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world. On the contrary, he preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, and brought the flood upon a world of ungodly people. And he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes and ruin, as a warning to those in the future who would live ungodly lives. But he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the debauchery of those unprincipled people, for the wicked deeds which that righteous man saw and heard as he lived among them, tormented his righteous heart day after day. So the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to hold the wicked until the day of judgment while continuing to punish them, especially those who follow their old natures in lust for filth and who desire authority. Presumptuous and self-willed, these false teachers do not tremble at insulting angelic beings. Whereas angels, though stronger and more powerful, do not bring before the Lord an insulting charge against them. But these people, acting without thinking, like animals without reason, born to be captured and destroyed, insult things about which they have no knowledge. When they are destroyed, their destruction will be total. They will be paid back harm as wages for the harm they are doing. Their idea of pleasure is carousing in broad daylight. They are spots and defects, reveling in the deceptions as they share meals with you. For they have eyes always on the lookout for a woman who will commit adultery, eyes that never stop sinning. And they have a heart that has exercised itself in greed, so that they seduce unstable people. These people have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam ben Beor, Bilaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of doing harm, but was rebuked for his sin. A dumb beast of burden spoke out with a human voice and restrained the prophet's insanity. Waterless springs they are, mists driven by a gust of wind. For them has been reserved the blackest darkness. Mouthing grandiosities of nothingness, they play on the desires of the old nature in order to seduce with debaucheries people who have just begun to escape from those whose way of life is wrong. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves to corruption. For a person is slave to whatever has defeated him. Indeed, if they have once escaped the pollutions of the world through knowing our Lord and deliverer Yeshua the Messiah, and then have again become entangled and defeated by them, their latter condition has become worse than their former. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than fully knowing to turn from the holy command delivered to them. What has happened to them accords with the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. Yes, the pig washed itself only to wallow in the mud. These are Caiaphas' words warning believers of the enemy that lies within. Yet keeping in mind, the outcome is very much the same. We as believers have to be more vigilant. If it seems too good to be true, then maybe it is. Nothing in life is free. There's a cost for everything. Thus, do not be deceived when the narrative is presented as doing good for all humanity. When your endowment is threatened, it is not in the best interest of humanity when your liberty is controlled and thus not liberty at all. Right now, there's the appearance of liberty, but there are so many things going on that are you really free? The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, life in its fullest measure. The words of Yeshua. And I want to leave you with this little analogy from another article regarding choice. It's like a man who takes a self-driving car to Washington, where he protests a law that mandates autonomous vehicles. So he's protesting against something that he supported by driving to the event. "Sir, how did you get here today?" he was asked by a snarky congressperson. The citizen shrugs and replies, "What choice did I have?" Self-determination is impossible under a centralized system of control, whether it be corporate monopolies or communist rule. For a fleeting moment, the American public is being presented the opportunity to take back the wheel. Can we cooperate long enough to correct the course? In other words, can we come together as one and speak as one voice? Because keeping in mind, there are no proxies in life. No one has the authority or the power to act on your behalf unless you give it to them. Thus, there is liberty in life for which we are afforded by our Creator. And thus, if He has given us these inalienable rights, then there must be life and liberty in Torah, for which I will share with you next week. So this idea, these ideas of that which appears to be freedom may not be freedom at all. But if God has conveyed and given you life and liberty, then his ways must align with life and liberty. So if everybody please rise.